Let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that as I speak now, you would take my words and turn them into your message for our hearts. Because we want to hear from you this evening. Amen. Okay. There's a phrase that came to mind when I started looking at this. I have a dream. Now, for a lot of people, that phrase will give images of a speech by Martin Luther King from the 60s. And I actually think that changed the definition of dreams for people. You see, for people today, to say the phrase, I have a dream, or I had a dream, means I've got hopes, I've got aspirations. This is what I want to become. But before that, in the early part of the 20th century, dreams were supposed to be messages. Psychoanalysts made a living out of trying to analyze people's dreams. And if you go back to the times of the Bible, dreams were even then thought to be messages. People thought they were messages from the gods. In the Bible itself, it's shown that the dreams are actually messages from God. We've got a quote in the Sermon on Pentecost where Peter quotes from Joel, through the Holy Spirit, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Look back to Genesis and you've got the story of Joseph and Pharaoh. You've got dreams or a message from God. Even a couple of weeks ago, we had the story of another dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And now we've got this one. This one's told slightly differently. This one's told in Nebuchadnezzar's own words. And I actually think Nebuchadnezzar's been on quite a journey in the book of Daniel. You may think the book of Daniel is about Daniel, but these first few verses are just as much about Nebuchadnezzar. He starts off and takes these captive people from Israel, from Judah, from Jerusalem, these young Jews, and for political reasons, tries to make them into his civil servants. Then he has this dream and meets Daniel, who interprets it for him. But Daniel gives praise to God for the interpretation, credits God for the interpretation, and Daniel and his mates get promoted. Then you have Nebuchadnezzar, as we heard last week, meeting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he's so struck with what happens there that he turns around at the end of that and issues a decree that any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. He's come face to face with the living God, but he hasn't yet realized it. And it hasn't yet made any impact on his personal life. But now we come to this testimony. It almost feels like it's a conversion testimony. He sees this dream, this image of the tree. This tree is safeguarding everything. But then comes a command from heaven that says the tree is chopped down. The tree is no more. The stump is going to be left, but it's going to be covered in dew. The stump will have a portion with the beasts. The mind will become one of the, like a beast, not a man. And seven periods of time will pass before any change. Daniel, at Nebuchadnezzar's own request, provides the interpretation of the dream. Daniel makes the dream personal. He says, this is you, Nebuchadnezzar. And he actually issues a warning. Let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. And then you have this incident when a year has gone by and Nebuchadnezzar looks out over the great city of Babylon and turns around in verse 20 and says, is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? How much pride has Nebuchadnezzar got in what he has done? He's built Babylon. It's for his glory. And God then steps in. And just as he warned in the dream, humbles Nebuchadnezzar. Until Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that God is God. At the end of his period of time, at the end of these seven periods of time, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. He's not just come to know that God exists. He's come to worship him for himself because of what has just happened to him. Now, for me, as I read this, there's a big picture here. And the big picture is God is in control. In verse 17, the dream itself tells Nebuchadnezzar this. In verse 17, it says the sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. Now, while that's the big picture, there's actually some a few applications that we can draw from this. First one, God is in control. He gives a warning about judgment. Now, in the rest of the Bible, it seems to me that God always seems to warn about a coming judgment. He warned Noah about the coming of the flood. He warned Abraham about the judgment that was going to come on Sodom and Gomorrah. He repeatedly warned Israel through the judges and the prophets to say, look, you follow my commands, or this will happen. Nebuchadnezzar had this warning. He was told, this is what will happen. This is a personal warning to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel makes it plain. You need to change. You need to change your behavior. You need to change your spirit. Practice righteousness, break off your sins. You need to turn around or this will happen. Our prophets in the Old Testament have also warned us about the final judgment. Jesus warns us about the final judgment. Paul in Romans says, no one is without excuse. Everybody has seen what God has revealed through the heavens. We all know about God. We all choose to and people who disregard him choose to disregard him. They choose to ignore him. But we have this warning. God is in control. He provides the warning. But also God is in control because his judgment will fall at the time he chooses. Now, I don't know if many people know, but I'm fairly into sports or watching sports. And One sport I like watching is rugby union. And if you get to, and there are certain points in the game where one side's on the defensive and they keep committing penalty after penalty after penalty, and the referee gives a warning. He says, look, you've been penalised so many times, the next penalty, somebody goes into the sin bin. Somebody is sent off for 10 minutes. A similar instance would be true of a parent and a child. You warn the child that they're doing something wrong. You keep on warning. Sooner or later, you have to make good on your warning. If the rugby referee awards another penalty but doesn't send somebody to the sin bin, then his authority is no good. If a parent warns a child not to do something, but then doesn't punish the child for doing the thing again, the authority is gone. The child will be able to do whatever they like. In the same way, if God doesn't judge when he produces a warning, his authority is nothing. But it's the authority figure who ultimately decides when the punishment will fall. The rugby union referee, he decides when there's a penalty that he has to give the yellow card for. The parent decides when enough is enough and the child has to be disciplined. In all the cases of God's judgment, God is the one who decides when the judgment will fall. People keep trying to predict when judgment day will come. When will it be the end of the world? But nobody can predict it. Jesus himself says, I don't know when it's going to come. Only the Father knows. But it's not. But that doesn't mean there will be no judgment. The fact that nobody knows when it's going to be doesn't change the fact that God has said there will come a judgment. In this dream of Nebuchadnezzar, God said there will be a judgment. If there's no change in behavior, there will be a judgment. Nebuchadnezzar shows off his pride over his personal pride over Jeru over Babylon. And God says, that's it. Now the judgment falls. So God will judge. But it will be at his time because he is in control. Another bit or another application of God being in control is that God can use circumstances to encourage people to repent, and he allows people to repent. My reading of this entire chapter is that God has used this dream and then circumstances to act in Nebuchadnezzar's life to actually bring Nebuchadnezzar to his knees in worship to God. You have a proud king who's conquered everything he knows. He's ruler of the entire Middle East. He's conquered Jerusalem. All these gods have fallen down before him. But then he meets this God of the Most High who can interpret dreams. But he's still a proud God. He looks over Babylon, the high walls, the gates, the hanging gardens that he's created. And God says, no, you're too proud. I'm in charge. I'm going to humble you. And then for 7 years, he's like a wild beast of the field. He's eating grass like the cows and the horses. He's sleeping out in the dew of the field. And then And then Nebuchadnezzar actually says, at the end of the days, I lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Now that is the cry of somebody who's come to know that God is in charge. He's come to believe in the one true God. And I think the application for that is that God can use circumstances at any point in time to bring people to their knees to worship him. You see, it's not in times of peace when the churches grow most. It's in times of crisis. When do most people pray? I think there was a national day of prayer during the Second World War. And most people in the country prayed. Soldiers who tend to have no belief in God pray on the eve of battle. Circumstances get used to bring people to their knees. Now, I don't know why COVID has happened or what is going on with COVID. But surely our prayer should be that in the midst of COVID, in the midst of all what's going on, people should be turning to God. Our prayer should be that the circumstances will drive them to their knees to seek the one true God. May they be like Nebuchadnezzar. And when they've got nowhere else to turn, they'll turn to God. But I also think there's a challenge in this chapter. The challenge is, we've had the warning. We know the judgment will come, but we know God allows repentance. Will we speak out even if people don't like what we say? You see, in this, the initial people to be asked about this interpretation of the dream were the satraps, the wise men, the Chaldeans, the astrologers. Now, I don't know, because it doesn't say, whether they stayed quiet because they didn't know, or did they stay quiet because they didn't think Nebuchadnezzar would like what they had to say. Now, a tree is the image of a king. From what I've read, was a common imagery around in the culture of the time. The trees were safety havens. There were places that provided fruit and food and shelter. And the king likewise provided food for his people, shelter for his people, safeguarded them. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, he was almost a tyrant. He ruled. If he didn't like what somebody said, he could decide to execute them. So were the satraps and the wise men quiet because they knew that this tree that was going to be cut down was Nebuchadnezzar? And they didn't think he'd like what they had to say. And in fact, Daniel was dismayed for a while. It says in verse 19, he was dismayed. His thoughts alarmed him. He had to get asked by Nebuchadnezzar, what is the interpretation? Don't worry about what it might be. Just say what it is. And he then explained that the dream was a specific warning to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen, but Daniel warned Nebuchadnezzar. Now, a lot of people don't like hearing about a God who's in charge. They don't like the fact that then they're not in charge of their own lives. But does that mean we should stay quiet and not tell them about the warning of the judgment? and the fact that God is in charge and he will judge. I don't think so. I think the message of Daniel chapter 4, to me, is that God is in complete control. He warns of the coming judgment. He will bring the judgment when he is ready. He also still allows people to repent and turn to him. The question is, will we, his people, speak up and tell them of the judgment and of the one who is in control? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for what we read of what you did in Nebuchadnezzar's life. We want to thank you that this testimony is recorded for us to look at and learn from. We want to thank you that you're in charge of circumstances, that you humble the proud, that you use circumstances for your ends. And we ask, God, that you would help us to speak up for you. Speak up about the warning that you've given other people, you've given everybody, that one day you will come to judge. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to speak up, even if they don't like what we have to say.